The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve. Yeah.
Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio. Jack Benny rounds out the month with two eps. The first one is titled Cast Visits Jack at Warner Brothers Studio. Cast visits Jack at Warner Brothers, May 3rd, 1942. And next, then we have Jack Imitates Fred Allen, May 17th, 1942.
Buddy, this is Jack Benny, that gray-haired carrier pigeon talking. Uncle Sam has clipped an important message on my ankle, and I'm going to give it to you right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to win this war. And we'll win it a lot sooner if we all line up solidly behind our armed forces and keep them supplied with all the tanks and planes and guns and ships they need to do this tremendous job. And we can do that by buying war-saving bonds. We must put aside one out of every $10 we make, 10% of our income, and buy war-saving bonds. That's our quota, and let's meet it with the same determination that our boys are meeting the enemy. Buy those bonds and buy them right now. Thank you.
The Jell-O Program, presented by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Jump for Joy.
When you take a package of Jell-O off the pantry shelf these days and make up a grand Jell-O dessert, you can count on something extra delicious. Yes, extra delicious, extra rich, more flavorful and more enjoyable. Because today, Jell-O's flavor is locked in. Locked right into the tiny Jell-O particles by Jell-O's new and exclusive process. This process protects Jell-O's tempting goodness, makes it even more of a delight. Never was Jell-O more enticing, more attractive-looking than it is today. And thanks to Jell-O's new process that locks in the flavor, Jell-O now tastes better than ever. It's a new high in tangy, zestful flavor. Flavor as refreshing as the juicy ripe fruit itself. But let your very next package of Jell-O prove it. Open the package. Notice that there's no telltale aroma, no sign of escaping fragrance and flavor. Then dissolve the Jell-O, and lo and behold, out will come Jell-O's captive goodness in a perfect flood of rich flavor. Get Jell-O tomorrow, friends, and see if you don't agree that Jell-O's locked-in flavor really is extra delicious.
Was Jump for Joy, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, Jack Benny has started work on his new picture with Ann Sheridan. So tonight we would like to show you what happened when the whole gang paid Jack a visit at Warner Brothers Studio yesterday. Jack told us to come over to his dressing room about 9 a.m. and said that he'd take a
phone. My mama done told me, son, a woman will sweet talk and give you the big eye, but when the sweet talking's done...
Now, where did I put that script?
A woman's a two-faced, a worrisome thing to leave you to sing the blues in an hour.
Now, where's that script? I have to learn my scene with Ann Sheridan. It's very important.
From Natchez to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe.
St. Joe. They love me there. Oh, here it is.
Wherever the four winds...
Rochester, I'm sorry to interrupt your sunrise serenade, but if you don't mind, I wish you'd help me rehearse my lines for today. Here's your part. You be Miss Sheridan.
Oh, boss.
I just want you to read her lines so I can learn mine. Now, this is a sequence where I propose. It's a very tender love scene. Now, let's get going.
Well, as a rule, I don't get romantic until about dusk.
Now, quit stalling. You're going to be Ann Sheridan, and I'm going to propose to you.
Okay, get down on your knees and let's go.
Don't have to get down on my knees. That's old-fashioned. Now, start here on page 23. You're Connie, and I'm Bill.
Yes, sir.
I speak first. So you're seated in the patio wearing a white organdy gown, and you're sipping a lemonade.
Lemonade?
Yes. And you're in a very gay mood.
Can't you make that a Tom Collins lemonade depression?
Rochester, I'm not interested in your reaction to liquid. Now, pay attention. Now, Bill enters through the French doors. That's me. Connie, I've come back. Come back to ask you a question that means more to me than life itself.
What is it, my sweet?
Connie, will you marry me?
But, boss, this is so sudden.
That's Bill, this is so sudden. Now, read your next line.
Okay. You look tired, Bill, won't you? Sit down.
Thank you. Well, Connie, I'm waiting for your answer. The answer that will fill my heart with joy.
A girl shouldn't rush into these things, Bill. First, I'll have to ask Mater and Pater. Who are they?
That's your mother and father in Latin. You see, you're a society girl.
Oh!
Now, let's continue. Connie, please say yes and make me the happiest man in the world.
Yes, Bill, I'll marry you.
Connie, my very own.
Bill, embarrass me.
That's embarrassing. The word is embrace. Oh, Connie, you've made me the happiest. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. What's Rochester doing on your lap?
Huh?
It's quite all right, Miss Livingston. He just asked me to marry him.
All right, Rochester. I think I know the scene. You can start getting my clothes ready.
Yes, Bill.
I'm boss now. Well, Mary, how do you like this dressing room? It's all right, isn't it?
It sure is swanky. How'd you ever get such a gorgeous layout?
Well, it isn't mine, exactly.
What?
As soon as Mr. Errol Flynn is over his cold, out we go.
You mean this is Errol Flynn's dressing room?
I don't care whose it is. I'm not going to dress in the boiler room anymore.
I don't blame you. That steam hissing must remind you of an audience.
Not that. It's too hot down there.
Say, Jack, remember that awful dressing room you had at Paramount?
Paramount. They hate me there. I'll never forget that dump they gave me to dress in. Every time I'd walk in the door, a loose board would smack me right in the face.
It was going out that bothered me.
Me too, come to think of it. Come in. Oh, it's my makeup man. Hello, Gordon.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Are we ready for our daily tussle with Father Time?
Just make me up and don't get smart.
Okay. Now, where did I put my trowel?
You don't have to fill in every wrinkle. Just put a little powder on me. Now, get going. He was on the phone, Rochester.
Yes, sir. Hello? Who? It's a Miss Hayden calling for Mr. Flynn, boss.
A girl, eh? Oh, I'll take it.
Oh, Jack, for heaven's sake.
Quiet, Mary. Flynn knows some pretty nice girls. Hello. Yes? Yes, Miss Hayden? No. No, this is not Errol Flynn.
Not even a reasonable facsimile.
Mary. You see, Errol's in bed with a cold. A cold. But... But, Miss Hayden, if you're not doing anything tonight, how about dining with me? And
pay half the check.
And pay half the check. Mary. Now, look, Miss Hayden. Hello? Hello? Hello, Miss Hayden? Hello? Darn you, Mary, she hung up. Well, come on, Gordon, let's get going. Make me look beautiful.
You're kidding, of course.
I am not. Do a good job. Mary, the next time I'm talking on the phone and you interrupt me, you're going to get right out of this studio. Now, believe me. Gordon, Gordon, for heaven's sake.
What's the matter now?
Don't put so much makeup on my chin. Yesterday, you buried my dimple.
I did?
Yes. Everybody was asking for it. Now, be careful.
Say, Jack, why don't you have him darken your hair?
No, Mary, I like those gray streaks running through it. It makes me look mature.
You can't mean Victor.
Mary, leave me alone, will you? Say, Gordon, I'd appreciate it if you take that eyebrow pencil out of my ear. There's a table to lay it on.
Say, Jack.
What?
Where did Rochester get that beautiful watch?
Where? Well, I'll be darned. Oh, Rochester! Yeah, boy! What are you doing with Mr. Flynn's wristwatch?
I'm modeling it!
Look, just because we're using Errol Flynn's dressing room, we don't have to...
Well, look who's here.
Oh, hello, boy.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Mary.
How are you?
Hiya, Jackson.
Say, fellas, I've been waiting for you. Did you have any trouble getting in the gate?
No, we just put a little Vaseline on Wilson and squeezed him through. Never a straight line with that Harris.
Oh, you're as sharp as a doorknob.
Say, Jack, are you really going to work with Ann Sheridan today?
What was that, Don?
I say, are you really going to work with Ann Sheridan today?
I sure am, Don. We're going to do our big love scene where I propose to her.
Oh, boy, Ann Sheridan. You kiss her, Mr. Benny?
Well, of course, Dennis.
Gosh, right after you kiss her, can I kiss you?
Definitely not. No use waiting. I gotta have a talk with that kid. see who that is, Rochester.
Hello? Who? It's a Miss Wilkins, boss. Call Mr. Flynn.
I'll take it.
Oh, Jack.
Quiet. Hello? Yes? Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Wilkins. Mr. Flynn is home with a cold. But I'll be glad to take you to dinner. I'm a pal of his. You'll have to guess. No. 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 No, it's Jack Benny. Hello? 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 Hello, Miss Wilkins? Hello? Hello? Darn that operator, she cut us off. And just as I was doing so good.
You and Hitler.
Well, I was. See, that girl had a beautiful voice.
Ready for you in a set, Mr. Benny.
Okay, come on, kids. We're all going over to stage 7. So long, Rochester.
So long. Oh, say, boss, what'll I do if any more of Mr. Flynn's girlfriends call up?
Have the call transferred to me on stage 7.
Okay. You're going to get hooked for a meal yet.
The idea, exactly. See you later.
Which way do we go, Jack?
Down the street to our right. Sit close, Dennis.
Gee, I hope I don't faint when I meet Aunt Sheridan.
Why should you faint?
Well, I saw her in King's Row, and she was so beautiful, I toppled right out of my seat.
You did?
It was all right, though. I told my girl it was indigestion.
Well, that was quick thinking. To our left here, fellas. To our left, right here. Here's the stage, right over there. Well, hello there.
Hello, Jack. How are things going?
Fine, fine.
Good. How do you like working with Ann Sheridan?
Oh, swell, swell.
Glad to hear it. So long, Jack.
So long.
Say, Jack, who are those fellas?
The Warner Brothers. Everybody, let's go inside. And listen, I don't want any giggling or wisecracks while I'm emoting. It throws me. Now, remember that, fellas. Fellas. Pretty big stage, isn't it?
Just a minute there. Have you got passes?
Well.
You gotta have passes, you know. Come to regulations.
Well, this isn't one of my. I mean, this isn't a regular tour. These people are guests of mine. This way, fellas.
I don't make the rules, you know.
Oh, shut up. Well, come on, kid.
Jack, who's that tall fellow over there biting his nails?
Where? Oh, that's Mr. William Keeley, my director. He's just a bundle of nerves.
Pretty jittery, huh?
You said it.
I have yet to see a director yours that I didn't have to carry out screaming.
Well, it's not all my fault. Miss Sheridan muffs plenty of lines, too.
Say, Jackson, you sure they ain't a part in this picture for me?
For you? What could you do, Phil?
Well, you're doing a scene today where you proposed to Aunt Sheridan, ain't you?
That's right, I do propose to her. But where do you come in?
Well, just as she says no, I ought to crawl out from under the davenport.
She's going to say yes. That's the way it's written. Uh-oh, jiggers, fellas. Here comes the director. Well, hello, Mr. Keeley.
Oh, hello, Jack. Paying us a little visit?
No. No, I'm in the picture. So absent-minded. Say, I've got a surprise for you, Mr. Keeley. I know my lines today.
Good. Then I can send this baseball bat back to the prop room.
Oh, by all means, you won't have to use force today. By the way, Mr. Keeley, I'd like you to meet a few friends of mine.
Now, Jack, I've warned you time and again about bringing sightseeing tours through the studio.
Oh, this isn't one of my... I mean, this isn't a tour today, Mr. Keeley. This is my radio gang. Huh?
Oh, I'm glad to know you all.
How are you doing, Keeley? Nice to see you.
Well, I'm raring to go, Mr. Keeley. Shall we get started?
Yes, in a minute. And incidentally, Jack, when we shoot the scene today, I wish you wouldn't stare right into the camera.
What?
In every shot, you seem to be looking for a seat in the audience.
Oh, well, I'll watch it.
Please do. I'll see you all later.
So long.
Bye, Mr. Keeley. So
long. Now, this was stage 7, folks. We will now proceed to stage 8, where I will show... Whoop! Pardon me, I'm so nervous. I got a little confused there. Now, where's Anne? I want you to meet her.
Oh, Jack, isn't that Miss Sheridan standing over there by the camera?
Oh, yes, that's Anne. Excuse me, fellas, I'm going over and break the ice.
Ice around Sheridan? Oh, Jackson, now.
I'll be back in a minute. I'll look in the camera if I want to. Never saw a director yet that wasn't jealous of me. Well, well, well. Good morning, Ann.
Oh, hello, Jack.
Well, Ann, you're certainly looking marvelous this morning.
Thanks, Jack. You're looking, too. You left out a word there, but it's all right. See, you're the cutest thing.
Jack, will you please stop pinching my cheeks? It's too early in the morning for coochie-coo.
Pardon me, I always do that, don't I? Oh, say, Anne, did you get to the bunch of violets I left in your dressing room this morning?
Yes, Jack, they were lovely.
I'm glad.
But you mustn't do that anymore. You've been sending flowers to me every day.
Oh, well, it's only a gesture, really. It's not as if there were anything serious between us. Hey, Anne?
Jack, will you please stop running your hands through my hair?
Well, can I help it? I'm only human. Oh, by the way, Anne, would you mind meeting some people at that little group standing over there, you know?
No, I'd be glad to. Business is pretty bad today, isn't it, Jack?
Oh, these aren't tourists, Anne. They're the members of my Jell-O show. Come on, I'll introduce you. And you thought those violets meant that I was stuck on you or something. Silly girl.
Jack, don't skip. Let's just walk.
Oh, I'm as frisky as a lamb today, I don't know. Well, fellas, here she is. And this is Don Wilson, our announcer.
Hello, Don.
Oh, this is a pleasure, Miss Sheridan.
And this is Phil Harris, our band leader.
Glad to meet you, Miss Sheridan.
Well, hello, Phil. I've seen you so often, I feel I almost know you.
Oh, down at the Biltmore Bowl, huh?
No, at Maisie's Beauty Parlor.
Look at him blush. Now, Anne, this is Dennis Day, our young tenor.
Hello, Miss Sheridan. This is the happiest moment of my life, by golly.
Well, you've met her, Dennis. Are you thrilled?
Please, don't talk to me for a minute.
I didn't know the kid was so emotional.
Pardon me, Anne. I'm Mary Livingston. Jack's too stupid to introduce me first.
I'm not stupid. I just forgot.
Well, I'm happy to know you, Mary. I've enjoyed you on all the programs.
Thanks. By the way, how's Jack been behaving?
Oh, he's been sending me violets and pinching my cheeks and skipping all over the place.
I know the whole routine.
Mary.
But believe me, Anne, he's harmless.
Oh, yeah? Harmless. Hey, who chased Hedy Lamarr all around the swimming pool at the Beverly Wilshire? Me.
Sure you chased her. She had your bathing cap.
Well, they're tough to get now. Oh, say, fellas, here comes my cameraman, Ernie Haller. Hello, Ernie. What a crew.
Oh, Anne, Jack, we're ready for the scene now.
Okay, Mr. Keeley.
Quiet, everybody. Quiet on the set.
Gee, those Warner Brothers are always on the job. Nice of them to help out like that.
Now, Jack, this is the scene where you and Anne have been married 1 month and you've just had your first quarrel.
Married? But, Mr. Keeley, I learned the proposal scene. I don't know this other scene at all.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Well, here's another day shot to...
Mr. Keeley! Please. And don't worry, I'll get the scene. After all, I'm an ad-lib comedian.
Then why don't you answer Fred Allen once in a while?
Because in order to answer him, I'd have to listen to his program. And he's not going to suck me in that way. He's so smart.
Well, he was smart enough to put a finish on your play last week.
Well, I'm glad he did, because we didn't have one. Now, come on, are we making a picture around here or not?
Sometimes I wonder.
Oh.
Now, here's the idea of the scene. You and Anne have quarreled for the first time. She's begging you to forgive her, but you remain adamant.
Okay.
A what? Adamant. You're cold and unresponsive.
Oh, adamant. Adamant.
Now, let's run over it. Quiet for rehearsal, please.
Quiet for rehearsal.
Those Warner Brothers, they're so conscientious.
Now, the scene is after dinner in your living room. And you're trying to make up with Jack, but he's reading the evening paper and ignoring you.
Ignoring Ann? Okay, I'll try.
All right, let's go. Ann, you have the first speech.
Yes, Mr. Felix. Oh, Bill. Bill, why must you be so stubborn? Is a silly little quarrel going to ruin our happiness and tear down all that we've struggled for? It's not fair, Bill. It's not fair. Speak to me, Bill, and I want the truth. Don't you love me anymore?
No, Connie. I'm afraid this is the end.
Oh, my Aunt Molly. Jack, Jack, put some feeling into the line. You're mad at the girl.
Mad at Ann?
Now read your line again, Ann.
Okay, I'll try.
All right. Speak to me, Bill, and I want to know the truth. Don't you love me anymore?
No, Connie. I'm a Vegas of the end. I got away or I'll let you have it.
What in heaven's name was that?
Well, didn't I do it right, Mr. Keeley?
Oh, if I only had a little chicken farm in Ventura.
Well, for Pete's sake, what's wrong now?
Jack, you're not a gangster. You're the girl's husband. You just had a little quarrel, that's all.
Okay, okay. Let go of my necktie. Please.
All right, Ann. Continue with the scene, please.
For a bunch of violets, I have to go through this.
Sorry, Ann. Let's go on.
Bill, I know this quarrel has been all my fault, and I'm terribly sorry. Let's kiss and make up.
No, Connie. It is too late.
It's not too late, Bill. It's not too late. Please, dear, take me in your arms, and let the ashes of our love burst into flame once more.
Ooh, what she said.
Dennis. All right, Collie. I forgive you. Kiss me, my love. Kiss me.
Jack, you're not supposed to kiss her.
I know what I'm doing. Connie, kiss me.
Jack, stick to the script.
The heck with the script. Ann, I mean Connie, I love you. Kiss me. Speak to me. Holy smoke, she fainted. Fainted, eh? Ha, ha, ha. Now let Fred Allen finish this. Wait.
Springtime, friends, is salad time. And what better way to celebrate the season than with a crisp vegetable salad made with harsh, tangy lemon Jell-O. It's as simple as can be to make. All you do is just dissolve a package of lemon Jell-O in one pint of hot water. Next, add 1 tablespoon of vinegar and a dash of salt and chill until slightly thickened. Then fold in 1 cup each of diced cucumber, sliced radishes, and sliced young onion. Mold and serve on lettuce. And believe me, there's a perfect salad. A delightful combination of cool, crisp vegetables nestling in a shimmering mold of golden lemon Jell-O. Don't miss trying it soon. Get several packages of lemon Jell-O tomorrow. And when you do, be sure to ask for genuine Jell-O, because Jell-O's locked-in flavor is extra rich.
This is the last number of the 31st program in the current Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night, broadcasting for the boys at Mather Field. Thank you, Mr. Keeley and Miss Sheridan, for appearing with us tonight. Oh, say, Ann, I think it's only fair to let the folks in on a secret. You really didn't faint when I kissed you.
No, but you nearly did.
See, I did at that. Good night, folks.
Written by Bill Maher and Ed Belline, and is broadcast each week by shortwave to our armed forces throughout the world. The Jell-O program, coming to you from the Santa Ana Air Base in Santa Ana, California, presented by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis A. Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with I Am an American. Rationing, friends, affects all of us. It affects you, your grocer, the folks who make Jell-O, every one of us. And all of us are doing our best to meet the situation, and we're going to make this sugar rationing plan a success. Next time you go to the store, if you find that there's not a full assortment of Jell-O and Jell-O pudding flavors to choose from, don't blame your grocer. It may have been impossible recently for him to obtain a complete range of Jell-O and Jell-O pudding flavors as usual. Of course, he'll continue to have a good supply of both these popular Jell-O desserts on his shelves. But he may not be able to offer you all the flavors all the time. So take this into consideration when you buy. If the particular flavor you want isn't available, try another. Perhaps one that you haven't tried recently. They're all swell. But buy only for your present needs. In this way, there should be enough for everybody. Let's cooperate so that everyone can enjoy these two grand desserts, Jell-O and Jell-O pudding. American, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, from the United States Army Air Base at Santa Ana, we bring you a man who drove us here in his old tin canna, Jack Benny.
Thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, as long as I was nice enough to give the whole gang a lift down here in my Maxwell, I don't see any necessity for referring to it as a tin can.
But, Jack, your car isn't exactly the latest model, and besides, it's so slow.
What do you mean, slow?
Look, it's only 50 miles from Hollywood to Santa Ana, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, all I say is, if we leave Saturday morning, we should get here the same day.
What's the big rush? We took our time and we saw beautiful scenery.
Well, I guess you're right, Jack. Wasn't such a bad trip after all.
You're darn tootin'.
And incidentally, I'd like to pay my share of the gas.
The gas? No, Don. Forget it. Forget
but,
it.
Jack, I wouldn't think of imposing. Now, how much was it?
Well, Don, let's not talk about it. No, let's not. Let's not talk about it, please.
But, Jack, I insist. How much do I owe you?
Well, that would come to about... No, Don. Forget it. Say.
Now, Jack Benny, I demand that you let me pay my share of the gas. Here's a $20 bill.
Thanks. Well, Don, it sure is great broadcasting here.
Wait a minute. Don't I get any change?
Change? Oh, yes, pardon me. your share of the expenses, Don, comes to $1.15, including.
Including what?
Insurance. You had full protection from the Randall Motor Club. I'll get your change. Wait till I open my purse. Here you are. Well, as I was saying, Don, it sure is great broadcasting for all these Army men.
Yes, Jack, I'm getting a big kick out of it.
Me too.
Well, look who's here, the sweetheart of the Air Force.
Keep me trying, that's my motto.
Well, here we are, Mary. Isn't this a fine-looking bunch of boys?
You said it. If this was a cafeteria, I wouldn't know which one to pick.
Yeah. These guys like you, too, Mary. You know, they don't see many girls around here.
No, but they see plenty of them at Laguna Beach and Balboa.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. These boys don't go to Balboa to flirt with girls.
They don't, eh?
No. They go there to have fun on the roller coaster. And throw baseballs and win Popeye dolls.
and rides in the tunnel of love.
With a Popeye doll, you're crazy.
Well, maybe I am.
Oh, Mary, wasn't that a lovely ride we had down here in Jack Maxwell?
Lovely.
Now, Don, if Mary doesn't want to help pay for the gas, she doesn't have to. Forget it, Mary. Forget it.
No, I want to pay my share. I didn't chip in last time, and I got anonymous letters for a month.
Anonymous? I wonder who could have... Oh, yes. Anyway, Mary, you don't have to pay the $1.15 for this trip.
Oh, I'll pay it. Where else can I ride 24 hours so cheap?
Well, we would have made it much sooner, Mary, if it hadn't been for that bridge out.
And that's another thing. Why did you make us all get out of the car and look for your bridge?
Because we hit a bump and away it went. That's why. Anyway, I'm not asking you for the money, so what's the big argument?
Say, Mr. Benny, speaking of our trip down here...
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Well, that's quite a hand you got there.
Yeah. Say, Mr. Benny, speaking of our trip down here...
How do you feel, kid?
Oh, all right. I thought I had the mumps early in the week, but it turned out to be a tennis ball.
A tennis ball?
It's a swell game, but I got to learn to keep my mouth shut.
Yes, that would help, you know.
Say, Mr. Benny, speaking of our trip down here...
Yeah?
I'd like to pay my share of the expenses.
Well, why didn't you say so? You owe me $1 even, Dennis.
Okay, here it is.
Wait a minute, Jack. How come Dennis pays only a dollar and you had Mary and me down for $1.15?
There was a 15-cent reward. Dennis found my bridge. He's got very sharp eyes.
But, Mr. Benny, you said the reward was going to be 50 cents.
No, Dennis, 15. You see, kid, with my teeth out, it just sounded like 50. Look, I'll show you, Dennis. Look. 50, 15. You see, they're exactly alike.
Oh, put your bridge back in.
I was just proving something.
Hiya, Jackson. Don't worry, fellas. The show will start rolling now.
What a ham. I suppose the show doesn't get started until you get here, Phil. Huh?
Oh, it gets started all right, but when I come on, I'm like a ray of sunshine, a breath of spring.
Phil, if that's spring on your breath, I've never smelled a taco. See, they know you. They didn't even let me finish the gag. Brother, do they know you? Where were you anyway, sir?
Well, I stopped in at the 302 Club to say hello.
To say hello?
Yeah, my Aunt Sophie's a bouncer in there.
What?
Aunt her own, no aunt. The next time she floods me, I'm going to defend myself.
Well, I don't blame you. Say, Don, go ahead and ask Phil, will you?
Ask him what?
You know, about the Axwell name.
Oh, yes. Say, Phil, wasn't that a lovely ride we had down here in Jack's car?
Yeah, it was all right.
Wonderful scenery, too.
Oh, Phil, you remember that beautiful orange grove we passed with that gas station right in the middle of it?
Oh, yeah, that reminds me, Jackson. How much do I owe you?
Forget it, Phil. Forget it. For heaven's sake.
Okay. Say, Mary, ain't this a wonderful layout they got here at the air base?
It sure is. Colonel Robinson drove me all over in a Jeep.
You know, I've always wanted to ride in one of them things. I bet it's a lot of fun.
Say, $1.15 isn't going to make me or break me. Forget it, Phil. Forget it. Will you?
I did already. Forget it. Let's get on with the program.
Okay. Now, Dennis, I think it's about time for your... I can't stand a chiseler. Dennis, I think it's about time for your song, so go ahead and entertain the boys.
Yes, sir.
I'll get a band leader next year that pays off, believe me.
Are with me, the cares of the day fade away. like the ship we watch at sea. When you're with me, each flower bursts into bloom, like the rose you gave to me. But when you're gone, the hours are over, and for my love, I pray there may come a day, there'll be more than just memory when you're with me. But when you're gone, the hours, come a day, there'll be more than just memories when you're with me.
Yes, sir, that old Devil C. That was When You're With Me by Harry Glick and Jimmy Lambert, sung by Dennis Day. Very good, Dennis.
Say, Mr. Benny, remember last week when I dedicated my song to the navigators and you told me what a navigator was?
Yes.
Well, this week I'd like to dedicate my number to the bombardiers.
Yeah! Oh.
Can you pound that into my head?
Now, Dennis, I'm not going through that again. I'll tell you later.
Tell him now, Jackson. I'm an eager beaver, and I want to get help.
Eager beaver? What's that?
Well, that's what they call a cadet around here that's snappy, on his toes all the time, like me.
Oh. Well, Phil, you're not exactly an eager beaver. You're more the jerky turkey type. Whatever that means. However, fellows, if you want to know what a bombardier is, here goes.
Okay. Now, pay attention, Dennis Day. Do you want to be a dope all your life?
Quiet. Now, the bombardier, fellas, sits in the glass enclosed nose of the ship. And when the navigator advises him they are nearing the target, he starts regulating his bomb sight. This delicate instrument represents the optimum in mechanical precision and coordination.
Oh, I get it.
Good.
Is it risque?
No, it's not risque. Now, fellas, a bombardier is chosen for steady nerve and exceptional eyesight, and is head man during the bombing operation. That is, he is in charge of the plane from the time the objective is sighted until he drops his egg.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Dennis, they're not really eggs, they're bombs. Oh, God. Once the bombardier... Once the bombardier has released the bomb, he relays this fact over intercommunication, and the plane proceeds to its home base. Now, are there any questions?
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be twins or triplets.
Take it easy, Phil. He's expecting folks, you know. Anyway, fellas, I hope I have clearly explained the bombardier and bomb sight.
You certainly have, Jack. And now let me explain about Jell-O. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in constant intercommunication with your neighborhood grocer, ask him for the package of Jell-O.
Fine.
You'll find that it's not only economical and easy to make, but it's America's favorite gelatin dessert. And I know a bomb sight more about Jell-O than I do about aviation. I thank you.
Well, you're in there punching down. I wish I'd have thought of that myself. You know, that's one of the cleverest... Come in.
Got a special delivery here from Mary Livingston.
I'll take it. Here you are, Mary.
Got a sign for it, you know. Government regulation.
I know that. We've been getting special delivery letters for years.
I've been delivering them for years and never got one, though.
All right, all right. Mary, who's the...
I haven't got my hand out to see if it's going to rain, you know.
Oh, yes, yes, the tip. Here you are.
Oh, boy, a nickel. Now I can buy a half of a Saturday evening toast.
Get out of here. I think a nickel was poison or something.
Oh, Jack, this is the cutest letter. It's from that handsome navigator I met at Mesa Field last Sunday.
Oh, Hutchison, eh?
Yeah, I call him Hutch. Listen to this. My dear Miss Livingston, or may I call you Doll?
Gee, you went right past Popeye, didn't you?
Check this, Jack. Just a line to thank you for the big box of homemade fudge you sent me. I've often had it with nuts, but this is the only time I ever found bolts in it.
Bolts in it?
They were really nuts, but I didn't take the shells off them.
Continue.
You know, I had a dream about you last night, Mary, and just as I put my arms around you, somebody shook me. This is the first time I was ever kissed by a top sergeant.
Well...
I understand, Mary, that you and your father are doing your program from Santa Ana this week.
Wait a minute. Did you tell that guy I was your father?
No, he classified you himself.
I'm prematurely gray, and he thinks I'm your father.
Well, my father's prematurely gray, and he's younger than you are.
All right, all right. Younger than you are, younger than you are. Never mind, finish the letter.
Anyhow, Mary, watch out for the cadets of Santa Ana. If you happen to go to Balboa with any of them, don't ride to the Tunnel of Love unless you take your father with you.
There he goes again. Mary, when you write to him, straighten that out, will you?
No other news, so we'll close with love to you from your own little Hutchie.
Hutchie's about 6'2" and he's getting kittenish.
Yes, if you send me another box of that fudge, I'm going to keep it till I fly over Tokyo. That'll do the trick.
Hey, that guy writes a pretty good letter. But you know, Mary, I don't think you should be making fudge when everybody's trying to conserve sugar.
Sugar? Oh, that's what I forgot to put in it.
What a cook. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this being I Am an American Day, as a special attraction, we're going to offer a musical salute to, pardon me, I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Oh, hello, Rochester. What do you want?
Boss, I told you we should have never taken that boat of yours along on this trip. He's crazy.
Mr. Billingsley, what's the matter now?
He thinks he's a bombardier.
A bombardier?
Yeah, he's sitting on the radio of the car dropping ping pong balls on the anthill.
Oh, he's just playing. He'll be okay on the way home.
He ain't going home. He says he's going to join the Air Force and kill Hitler.
Well, what's wrong with that?
About 5 minutes ago, he looked right at yours truly and said, "That suntan ain't fooling me, Adolf."
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even remember the man.
Be calm now, Rochester. When I see Mr. Billingsley, I'll explain things to him.
Well, don't let the bridge work stick out. He thinks you're a Jap.
Well, look, Rochester, Mr. Billingsley won't hurt you. He's harmless, so don't worry.
Who's worrying? Did you ever notice the wings spread on my razor?
You leave Mr. Billingsley alone. Now, Rochester, bring the car over here to the camp and pick me up right after the broadcast. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
I got bad news for you. I wasn't able to get that blowout fixed.
You couldn't fix the blowout? Well, how are we going to drive home?
It's all set. We got 3 tires and a hoop snake.
Well, that might work. So long. I wish Rochester would try to understand Mr. Billingsley. After all, he paid me $115 to come down here. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this being I Am an American Day, as a special attraction, I'm going to offer a musical salute to a great American, George M. Cohan. The orchestra is going to play a medley of some of his most popular song hits, which are now in Jimmy Cagney's new picture, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Take it, boys.
Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the pony. I am a Yankee Doodle
was a medley of George M. Cohan's most popular numbers played by the orchestra. Hope you're listening in, George, and that you're feeling fine. Now, Don, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so should we give the folks our surprise novelty?
Yes, Jack. Are you all set?
Wait till I put this clothespin on my nose. Wait a minute. 1 second.
Okay, Don. I guess I sound a little more like him now. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, as most of you probably know, Fred Allen will be on the air in a little while, and of late he has been opening his show with an alleged comical analysis of the Jell-O program.
Hey, what is this?
You'll see, Dennis, you'll see.
Now, this evening, folks, we would like to give you a preview of approximately what Mr. Allen will say about the program we've just concluded. Mr. Allen would probably start out something like this.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fred Allen, that meager beaver, talking. And, Jimmy, did you by any chance listen to Jack Benny's program tonight?
Why, no, Fred, I didn't.
Well, you didn't miss much. Benny was broadcasting from the Santa Ana Air Base out in California. He's been playing quite a few air bases lately. That's because they've been giving him free oxygen for his flat lungs.
What else did he do, Fred?
Well, it seems that Benny drove his whole gang down from Hollywood in that old Maxwell of his and made him each pay for the ride. That's like putting a nickel in a jukebox to hear a raspberry.
Oh, Mr. Allen, will you stop running down Jack?
Porty, you stay out of it. And then, Jimmy, Mary read a letter that she got from a boyfriend that made her feel. And this fellow thought Jack was her father. Well. You can't blame the boy for thinking Jack Benny is that old. After all, the only reason George Washington stood up on the boat when he was crossing the Delaware was because Benny made his pants too tight. And then at the end of the program, he gave a corny imitation of me, and that's about all there was to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, a preview of what Fred Allen will say about Jack Benny. So if you still want to listen to his program, don't say we didn't give you a fair warning.
You said it. Play,
sir. Dad and mother, sister and brother, they'll all love this swell new salad treat. Sea Dream salad made with delicious lime jello. And there'll be extra pleasure in it for mother because it's so easy to make. Now, here's all you do. Just dissolve a package of lime jello in 1 pint of hot water. Add 1 tablespoon of vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon of scraped onion, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and a dash of cayenne and pour through a sieve. Then mold and serve on crisp lettuce with mayonnaise. And there's a delightful summer salad the whole family will enjoy. A tart, tantalizing salad made with cool emerald green lime jello. Perfect for a warm weather meal. Get a package of lime jello tomorrow and serve this grand Sea Dream salad real often. But remember, when you buy, be sure to get genuine Jell-O, because Jell-O's flavor is locked in extra rich.
We're a little late, so thanks, Colonel Robertson and all the boys, and good night.
The Jell-O program is written by Bill Maher and Ed Boulogne and is broadcast each week by shortwave to armed forces throughout the world. The presentation of this program from Santa Ana has been for the entertainment of the personnel stationed here and does not constitute an endorsement of our product by the War Department or its personnel.
Thank you for your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe. Wish you well, and as always, peace.